We're reading Yeshua chapter 3 and then 4. These two chapters are the first big story in Sefer Yeshua, the first miracle described in Sefer Yeshua, which is the story of the crossing of the Yarden, the crossing of the Jordan River. And as the story makes very explicit, this crossing has mainly two functions. And these two functions are a continuation of the main goals of the beginning, that the speeches in the previous chapter, and as we discussed, also the story of the Meraglim in some sense, are here to tell us. And these are two purposes that can be summarized as establishing the authority of Yeshua. Since Yeshua is the new leader, he needs to establish that he has the authority, he has the power, or as the Pasuk says it, Hashem is with him as he was with Moshe, so he's not different from Moshe. Hashem is with him, who will help the people through him, by him, just as he has done to Moshe. And secondarily, or the same time, but the second articulation of the same thing, is to show that Hashem is still with the people, to show the power of Hashem to help them enter the land and to conquer it. Of course, these go together because Hashem is helping them through Yeshua. But those are the two purposes explicitly named in the speeches, beginning of the Ness, and that's the reason why this miracle is here. So it's the miracles establishing that, like, it's very similar to how it says by the Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdoi, so establishing the power of Hashem, in other words, that Hashem is with the people, that he's helping them, and establishing Yeshua now as the correct authority, as the one who Hashem is with him, with the people through him, or with him, and therefore with the people. So we have this story. Now, one big difference from this story and the story of the Kriyas Yamsuf, that the Pusik, the narration explicitly it compares this to Kriyas Yamsuf, so the comparison to Kriyas Yamsuf isn't something that we have to even insert. It's very explicit that this is modeled on it, and it's presented that explicitly, that this to show that Hashem was with the people and with Yeshua, just like he was with Moshe and the people to Yetzias Mitzrayim for splitting the sea, in the same way splitting or stopping the Yarden in the same way for them. But of course, there's some differences between these two places. One big difference is in Kriyas Yamsuf, we have only Moshe really being the leader with his stick, of course, with Moshe's rod or stick, mata, which he raises with his hand and splits the sea, but directly Moshe. There's nobody else. There's nobody in between Moshe and the people. This was Moshe's preferred style of leadership. There's a lot of stories about this in Sefer Bamidbar and so on. Moshe's preferred style of leadership was direct from him to the people. In Sefer Yeshua, we have explicitly something in between. We've discussed where we have Shoitrim, which of course Moshe himself and Sefer Torim said he should have Shoitrim, which we discussed, not clear what that means, but it means some level of governors or leaders or managers, people that bring the message from Yeshua to the people. And also something very important, we have Kehanim, priests. Kehanim, of course, are probably like Aharon's children, right? They're not named here, the Kehanim, so it's not about a specific kohen. Of course, we had stories about people like Aharon, and then his sons, Elazar, right? Nadav Avihu died, and Elazar, and his son, and so on. But here, we don't have a specific kohen. The Kehanim don't get to take credit as a specific person, but as the function of Kehanim, the function of the Kehanim, and specifically in their function of carrying the Urim, carrying the Ark. That is the Kehanim have an important role to play in this story, and we could say something like they represent God, they represent the divine doing these actions for them. My general inclination is to read all these kinds of stories as completing one the other, right? So what one hides, the other one reveals. Now, of course, it's important to notice what is hidden and what is revealed. So in the story of the Yamsuf, it doesn't mention any priests. Of course, the official lineage of priesthood of Aharon was established afterwards, but we see very clearly in the story of Mahmud Har Sinai, there were priests established in amongst the people already before. But over here, it's explicit. It's made explicit that their Kehanim are the ones who are carrying the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of God, and through that cutting or splitting or stopping the Yarden. I do think that if we want to read in my way, then we can see, of course, in Parshas B'Shalach, it does talk about something, Malach HaLehim, and the cloud going between the people and the Egyptians and so on. And if we want to superimpose this story on that story, we can assume that those were the Kehanim there. Because that's when it says Hashem. Hashem Yilochem Lechem. Hashem is going before you. Hashem is always represented by his Oren or by the Kehanim who are the ones taking it. So I think it's pretty obvious that that would be the point. And now but in here it's explicit. So unlike in Moshe, which describes everything as directly God to him or and him to the people, here there's a third level in between. And this makes also the story a little complicated because we have a lot of narrations, a lot of commands, a lot of statements, and it's from Yeshua to the people, from God to Yeshua, from Yeshua to the Kehanim, from the Kehanim to the people. You have three levels, and each time it's only said at one of them, and we have to figure out what's going on. Okay. In any case, let's go through the structure of the story of this chapter, and then the next chapter. There is a difficulty in the way this story is constructed. It's pretty obviously not written in entirely a linear fashion. I think that we should kind of stop mostly expecting stories in Tanakh to be written in a purely chronological linear fashion. There's almost not even one. I mean, there are many that work that way, but almost always there. And this is a problem for any narrator, anyone that writes a story. You want to like finish one arc before you go back, and then that means you went forward in time, then you go backwards. It's not it's a normal way of telling stories. And unless you want to cut up the story into like three versions, like criticisms do and so on, you have to read it in the sense that it's, of course, there's a chronological structure, you know, there's the before, the while the crossing, the after the crossing, and so on. But the stories which want to talk about one aspect every time, they say the whole story again and again. So instead of like saying everything that happened before, and everything that happened while, and everything that happened after, you could read it as three or four different parts, as I've cut it up here with my little flowers that I put in between each part. And each one describes a different aspect of the story. Of course, it more or less makes sense, but you'll see that it goes a little backwards and forwards. So in the beginning, we have the first masa, the first travel, and the journey of the people from one space to another space, this continuing the logic of the journeys like we had throughout the whole Sefer Bamidbar. They're journeying through the desert, and there's always a place where they come from and they go to. And of course, always the Oren and the Midbar was described usually as a cloud, but I think the cloud is accompanying the Oren, or has something to do with it, and the people following it. So that's basically what we have here in the first pasuk of this chapter, chapter 3. It says Yeshua woke up in the morning. So now we see this is chapter, and as we'll see all the way in the end, it gives us a date for the crossing of the Jordan. So the story wants us to know that, you know, there was the time that this happened. There's like the structuring of time here. It was in the morning, so this morning must go back all the way to the end of Sefer Devarim and after the 30 days of Moshe's after Moshe's death, where they cried for Moshe, they mourned Moshe, and then the morning after, or maybe 3 days later, because in chapter 1 we had a report of Yeshua telling the Shoitrim to tell the people that in 3 days going to cross to be ready, that in 3 days they're going to travel. So probably the next day in the morning, but this Vayashkem Vayikra is like marking time in the morning, they wake up, and Yeshua wakes up and travels along with all the people from Shittim, which is where they were, right? What we call Arvis Moav or Shittim, with had many stories named as happening in Shittim, and they come to the Jordan, so in other words, to the banks of the Jordan, to the banks of the river, and they sleep there, they stay there overnight before they're going to cross. Now the next report, to the next part, gives us a report. I think it's also a report of the travel itself, because I think that this is not only about the crossing of the Jordan. It seems to me to be the report of the travel, but it's explaining it more at length. Like the first pasuk was just giving us the report, like Vayisu Vayachnu, Vayisu Vayavoy, Vayelinu, and now it's telling us more about how it happened. That's how I would read it for various reasons. So we're going back now. This is obviously going back to the report in chapter 1 where it says that Yeshua told the Shoitrim to tell the people that in 3 days they're going to cross. And at the end of those 3 days, then that probably was the same day as Vayashkim Abayka Vayisu. But in the same time, at the end of those 3 days, the Shoitrim pass through the people. They go around to the people, Vayavru. And they tell them this. They tell them, when you see the ark Aroim Bris Hashem Lekechem, the ark which carries that, the Luchos HaBris of Hashem, this saying in a short way, carried by the Kehanim, the Levim, right, the priests who are from Shevet Levi, you will travel and go after him. And explains, and I'm going to read it like this, and explains why do you have to follow it, because you don't know the way. So you should know the way, because you haven't traveled this way yesterday. You're not people that know the travel. So the Oren is going to be your guide, so you have to follow it as your guide. But he adds, when you follow it, you have to be careful to keep space between you, keep distance. It of course has to do with the sanctity, with the Kedusha of the Oren. You shouldn't get close, as we've seen many, many times in Chumash. You have to get too close. So although you're following it, keep space, and it gives you an amount of space. 2,000 amma, keep space. 2,000 amma is a amount of space. That, of course, we call it Chum Shabbos, or it's an amount of space given also in Zefet in the Torah for around the city. So it's like keeping a space, a correct distance between the Oren and the people. So that's what the Shoitrim tell the people. Now Yeshua tells the people, not the Shoitrim. So the Shoitrim always give the more practical, I think, instructions. And Yeshua gives them the more like theological instructions. So he tells them, prepare it yourself. It's Kadoshi, means literally prepare yourself. Make yourself special. In other words, dedicate yourself. Prepare yourself is, I think, the best translation. Because tomorrow Hashem will make amazing things within you. Okay? Now tomorrow, meaning, when did he say this? The night before, or in other words, this is said in the day that after they arrived at the Yarden, and it says Ve'elinu Sham. So this was obviously said before, and the next morning they're going to cross. That's the Nefloys. And Yeshua tells the Kanim, I think this was said before, right? In the same time, he tells the Kanim, carry the Rebris and go in front of the people, and then they follow you, and they follow them from Shittim to the Yarden. That's how I want to read this, because otherwise it says too many times the same thing. So that's they arrived at the Yarden. Now, in the morning, it doesn't say that this is the next morning, but we have to assume that this is the next morning. Ve'elinu Sham, right? And the next morning, the next day, we have the commands, the speeches about the crossing and the crossing. But I think that, and then in chapter 4, we're going to finish, this is chapter 3. And chapter 4 again says the same thing. So I think that should be taken as the more detailed report of the crossing itself. Here we have a full narrative of the crossing, which is giving more the main purpose, the main function of this crossing, the logical purpose. So we have to remember something very interesting. I think this is still a question that I don't have a full resolution for. I think it needs to be thought about more. But we discussed how the Pasuk describes explicitly this crossing of the Yarden as an analogy, as a just like the crossing of the Yam Suf. The problem is that there's a big, huge difference between the crossing of the Yam Suf and the crossing of the Yarden. The crossing of the Yam Suf, of course, had an important function, important meaning. The Mitzrim were chasing them, and that was their only way out. That was their escape, right? Of course, this whole thing was engineered, like we say in the beginning of Parshas Beshalach, the Asvelim Esam. They could have avoided maybe this whole battle, but God led them into the battle in order for him to create this story. Okay, that's possible. But still, once they were there, there were no way out, and as the Pasuk describes, it was saving them from the Mitzrim, and of course killing the Mitzrim, and the Yam Suf is a big part, right? The main story of Kriyas Yam Suf is not the splitting of the sea, it's more the drowning of the Egyptians in the sea, and as the Shir HaSiyam makes abundantly clear. Over here, there is no enemies to destroy, to drown in the Yarden, which is a shame, they should have, but there wasn't anyone around. So it's only about the miracle, the fact that the Yarden splits, and even that is not really clear how needed it is. Because of course, the Yarden is a river, and as all rivers, it has different heights and different seasons. Some seasons it's easy. In some locations, and some seasons, you could just cross it. You could kind of wade through it, as we've seen in the previous chapter by the story of the Meraglim. It says they went al Ma'abres Hayarden. The Ma'abres Hayarden literally means the fords, the places where the Yarden is low, where people crossed it. This is how in ancient times, until today, I guess, and where there's no bridge or something, and people are just walking or walking with some animals, they just cross the river in some places where it's possible to cross. You hop along some rocks, or you go where it's shallow, and you just wade through. It's still possible to do nowadays when the Yarden is low. So there isn't any need, really, for this miracle of crossing the Yarden. It doesn't fulfill a function. This is, remember the Rambam, okay, I'm not going to get into this, but I'm just You should remember the Rambam said that the reason that people believed in Moshe wasn't because he did miracles. The miracles were only to serve a functional purpose. Here it's quite explicit that the miracle doesn't serve a functional purpose. Then it may be, I'm sure it's helpful, it's nicer to go in a dry riverbed than to wade through a little bit water, but there's no reason for it. There's nobody chasing them. It's not being used to destroy their enemies. It's only for the purpose of showing that Hashem is with Yeshua and with the people. And this is made abundantly explicit in the next piece that we're going to read. So Hashem tells Yeshua, Hayayim is that today I will begin to make you great in the eyes of all of Israel, of all of Israel, so they know that just I was with Moshe, I was with you. This is the point of the whole story. And then he gives them the exact instructions. You'll tell the Kehanim that when they come to the edge of the river, they should stand there. And as we'll see later, then that's when the Yarden will stop and the people will pass through sort of in front of them, by them. So that's what happens. Yeshua tells the people, that's what Hashem tells Yeshua, and now Yeshua tells this to the people and to the Kehanim. Yeshua tells the people, listen what Hashem said. This is very explicit. He's not telling them what he's saying. He's repeating to them what Hashem said. That's what Yeshua says. And Yeshua tells them, this is what Hashem says. So he doesn't say it in the name, doesn't speak God's words, but he tells them the message that God told them to tell the people. He says, Bezoisted, and with this you will know, because God, that God lives within you. This is the purpose of the wholeness. And of course, this will serve to prove to you, to show to you that what's the point of knowing that God lives with you? It's not just like a theological point. Of course, it's like, therefore they're going to have courage. They're going to know that God will destroy for you and let you take over these seven nations, the Canaan, the Chiti, the Chivi, the Prizi, the Gigush, the Amali, the Visi, which is what they're entering the land to conquer. And how is it going to happen? Right? And he tells them exactly what Hashem told them to tell the Kehanim. Tell the Kehanim that they should stand in the Yarden, and then they will stand and when it's implied, as we'll see later, then the Yarden will stop. He tells the people this, the Ora and the Ark, the Arena Bris of Adon Kal Oretz, of the Lord of the world, of the whole earth, is going to pass in front of them from the Yarden. And he tells them one mitzvah. We'll see this a lot more elaborated in the next part, the next chapter. But he doesn't tell them why. He tells them, take 12 people, 12 men, each for one of the tribes of the Israel, and you'll see what to do with them. And the point is, as soon as the feet of the Kehanim stand in the Yarden, the waters will split. Now, of course, they're not split. You have to remember, the Yarden is a river. It's not an ocean like the Yamsuf. So there's a big difference. There's a big difference where the Yarden is the Yamsuf is a sea, so to split it means you have to just somehow open a path in the middle. The Yarden is a river, which means it flows, right? It flows from north to south. So we have to split it. You don't have to split it, you just have to cut it, stop it flowing, and therefore it stops, right? It's going to stop, and then everything downstream is dry. You don't have to sort of move the water from the downstream. You only have to stop the upstream coming down. So that's what it means. The water is from coming down, from up, right? And they come from the mountains, from snows and so on. So the water is coming down, will stop and stand in one, like, right? Nitzvu kumaneid, very similar language as we have in the Shir HaSayam, in the Shir HaSayam, that the water stand like a neid, like some strong thing, like a tough wall or something. They have to stand that there's only one, instead of in the Yamsuf where there were apparently two, because on both sides they stand one and you'll be able to pass in front of it. And the story describes how this precisely happens as they travel to like this, and this is described just as one more travel following the Urin, right? As they travel to cross the Yarden with following the Kehanim, as the Kehanim carrying the Urin go into the Yarden. As soon as their feet touch the water coming from on top stand up, they become one wall or one hard thing. And it gives a description exactly where, which is very interesting. It says they stop in the next to or across from or a place called Adam Ha'ir, or a city or a town called Adam, which is on the side of Tzarsan. And therefore, the ones going all the way down, do you remember the Yarden spills into Yam Aruf, Yam HaMelach, the Dead Sea is the south part of the Yarden. That's like the bottom part where most of the waters of the Yarden end up. then they stopped, because they stopped all the way from this Adam Meir. So in between that and Yericha, and this is quite far, it's a few kilometers, I remember how many, higher, right, upstream from Yericha. So if the water stops in Adam, then all the way from there to Yericha, there's dry land, and the people passed by, and the Kahanim are standing there, all waiting all through on the time that until all the people finished passing by, the entire nation, Kol HaGoy, the entire nation finished passing by and crossing the Yarden.